This evening, we're going to speak about a topic that I'm sure you've studied a little bit about, and we're going to, this is what I call a deeper dive into the purpose of the Mishkan. I think many of us have studied this before, potentially. Many of us have studied the debate between Rashi and the Ramban a little bit. Was the building of the Mishkan halachatchila or bidyeved? Was it an ideal, not an ideal? But I think when you actually look into the Mefarshim, you actually find more than just two approaches, Rashi and the Ramban. So I want to go through, and the truth is, there are probably more than six approaches. But I thought we'd try to cover six approaches as to why Hashem commanded the Bnei Yisrael to build a Mishkan. And when we do that, we'll try to answer the following questions. We're going to try to answer the question of what does the pasuk mean, "V'yasuli mikdash v'shachanti b'socham," I will dwell amongst them. In what way is God dwelling amongst them through the Mishkan? Why do we need a physical structure? Why now? What's the chronology? And is there any relationship to the sin of the golden calf? So, someone want to tell me what the Ramban holds? We're going to read inside, but I'm sure some of us know the Ramban's position. According to the Ramban, what is the purpose of the Mishkan? Anyone? Any thoughts? Oh, okay. Ramban. Remember, the Ramban is a big proponent of Yesh Muktam Umeuchar Torah. The Ramban believes that the events of the Torah occurred in their chronological order, unless it states otherwise. Ramban feels very strongly that if the Torah writes that Hashem commands the Bnei Israel about the Mishkan right now, then it happened right now. What does it mean right now? Before the sin of the golden calf. According to Ramban, this was an ideal. Ramban writes in Parachafei Pasuk Beis, Kasher Diber Hashem Im Yisrael Ponim Ponim Aseres Adibros, Vitzivel Samay De Moshe Sas Mitzvos, Shehem. Hold on, I want to make this a little bit larger. Okay, so, but Hashem commanded Bnei Israel face to face the word of the Aseres Adibros, he commanded them through Moshe Sam Mitzvos, Shehem Kamo, Avos the Mitzvosel Shel Torah, that the Aseres Adibros are like primary categories to the Mitzvos of the Torah. Kasher Hinhigu Rabboseinu Magim Shebaim Lisiyahed. Just like when someone wants to convert to Judaism, so you tell them the basic mitzvahs, the primary categories of mitzvahs. Yisrael kibolem lasos kol mashiyat savim Moshe, and Bnei Israel accepted upon themselves to do what God commanded them through Moshe. The karsimahem bris al kolzen, they enter into a treaty about this. Miatah hineheim lo la'avuhu lahem elokim. So now he's their God, they're his people. Kasher hitna imohem itchila, as he conditioned with them initially. Okay, we got a nice relationship going on here. They are now a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. So since they are a holy nation, Kedusha, so they need a mikdash, a holy structure, so that the Shechina should dwell amongst them. And therefore Hashem commands about the Mishkan, Shielo Bayis, Bisocham, Mikudash Lishmo. So they are a holy nation. They need a house that is holy for God's name. Visham Yadaberi Moshe Vayatzaves Bnei Israel. And there in this Mikdash, Hashem will command the Bnei Israel. Vine Ikar HaChefetz, the Mishkan, who Makom Menuchas HaShechina Shu Aron. So the main focus of the Mishkan, this is where the Shechina rests, which is the Aron. So the Aron will house God's Shechina. It's a big question. How does God, who is beyond time, beyond space, reveal himself to man, who is physical, physical? Don't know how, but it happens. God's Shechina, an aspect of God, can reveal himself to Klal Yisrael, according to the Ramban. And this works how? In the Aron. So you need a makom, you need a place that will house God's Shechina.
Rabbi?
Yes?
But doesn't the Ramban also say that it didn't have to be the Mishkan, that it could have been the Beis HaMikdash that we're talking about here? So we could, you know, we didn't need Mishkan to do that. We could have just had to
You could have waited, what, until they got to Eretz Yisrael?
I thought, according to the Ramban, that, you know, all this happened because of the Chayde Eko.
No.
But Tefillin. We would have gone directly into Eretz Yisrael.
No. That's not Ramban. Ramban says, remember, Ramban, that Rashi says response to the sin of golden calf. We're gonna explain four different approaches. That's Rashi. Ramban, Yesh Mukta Muchavar Torah. Ramban says events occurred in their chronological order. This would have happened had there not been a sin of the golden calf. They still would have been commanded about this.
Yeah, no, but I'm saying that we can say that, but we can say that talking about the place of Mikdash, not the
Mishnah. Oh, whatever. Well, I mean, Hashem is telling Moshe what you're supposed to build. And he's telling him in Truma and Tetzava what you're supposed to build. What's he describing there? Right? I don't know.
But I'm just saying that doesn't go against the fact that it didn't have to, you know, in other words, it could have been in the same order, but they could have just gone to the base of, direct to the base of Mikdash.
When you're saying they could have gone directly to the base of Mikdash, what do you mean? They could have gone directly to Eretz Yisrael? You're saying they could have commanded... Yeah. They were planning going to Eretz Yisrael, but for the time being, until they got to Eretz Yisrael and built the base of Mikdash, they would have this kind of structure that's fine. And this, the next paragraph, the Ramban writes, Vesod Mishkan Hu, and the secret of the Mishkan is Sheyiel Hakavod Asher Shachan Al Har Sinai Shochin Alav Benistar. So the glory of God that dwelt on Har Sinai is now dwelling by the Mishkan in hiding, in private. And he talks about the Kavod of Hashem is Mole as the Mishkan fills the Mishkan. And that the Rabban goes on to say that he speaks between the two Kruvim. The point being, according to the Ramban, basically says that Hashem's, the purpose of the Mishkan, according to the Ramban, and the Ramban holds the Mishkan as an ideal. I guess what I'm trying to explore with you tonight is I think many of us are aware of the debate of whether the Ramban was an ideal or in response to the sin of the golden calf. So, but even if you hold it's the ideal, so it's the ideal for what reason? So I'm going to suggest two different approaches tonight. So the Ramban's approach is that it's ideal for what reason? To house the Shekhinah, which the Bnei Yisrael witnessed at Har Sinai, that it should continue. That God's Shekhinah literally was the God's Shekhinah, which revealed itself at Har Sinai, was literally contained within the walls of the Mishkan, which was at the geographic center of the nation's encampment. So that's why do we need a physical house, according to the Ramban? To house the Mishkan. It's an extension of Sinai. It's a continued divine presence. That's why Hashem commands it right now. Because, let me finish, Evan. I'll take your question 1 second. It's a continuation of Har Sinai. The Ramban holds the events occurred in their chronological order. And according to Ramban, there is absolutely no relationship between the commandment to build the Mishkan and the sin of the golden calf. Yes, Evan.
What is
right,
which is a general, and then it gets to the specific of the Mishkan. Go right away to the Mishkan. Don't tell me, let's say Mikdash, which is a general term, which includes in Israel or here or in Budapest, any place, as opposed to the Mishkan. Tell me, and I should build a Mishkan.
Right. I think the Ramban is saying that you are a Mamlachas Kohanim VeGoy Kadosh. You are a nation that is Kadosh. So now you need and you are a kadosh because of you witnessed the Shekhinah, which is a siman that you are now a goy kadosh, and now you need a place that is kadosh to house that Shekhinah. And so that's why he understands it, and that's why it makes sense also that the Aaron is the first thing that Hashem commands, because that's really what this is all about. That's the main thing. The main thing is the Aaron for according to the Ramban. Everything else is like, you know, secondary. The main thing is the Aaron for the Ramban.
What's interesting, it doesn't say v'shachanti betochan. The building
right.
Says v'shachanti betochan.
Right. So that's a question. What does it mean in them? So it means it's amongst, literally, God's Shekhinah would be amongst them, the Bnei Yisrael, physically amongst in their camp, in the center of their camp. That's what you have to say. Literally, God's Shekhinah is physically dwelling among them in their camp, in the center of their camp. I want to share, but there's another approach. Even if you hold that the Mishkan was an ideal unrelated to the sin of the golden calf, what might be another reason to build a Mishkan, other than to have God's Shechina dwell amongst them potentially? I wrote it here actually, a national center. Shadal says also was an ideal, but he has a different purpose. Acher shekiblu aleihem hamishpatim v'atoros v'haya Hashem b'yishurun melech. After Bnei Yisrael accepted upon them the laws, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu now is the king over them, because you only have a king if you're accepted by people. So they accepted him as the rule giver. Roy Shiyasu L'Mikdash Kilu Malkam Shochem B'Sochem. So it makes sense that they should build a create a Mikdash as if their king is dwelling amongst them. Ki Yasiba Chazaka Lishmirat Hachdut Be'uma V'Atmadat Dveikuta B'Torah. There's a strong reason to secure the unity amongst the nation, that they'll always be clinging in Torah. Even though it had not been decreed at this point that they would stay in the desert, Hashem did not want that they should wait to build the Mishkan until they settled the land. And Hashem commanded them to build a movable Mikdash, Mishkan, Shigam v'vam el'aretz, yuchlu akimu v'chol makom sheyirtzu, lefi tzarech Hashem, so they can set it up wherever they want to before it's fixed. And so again, the Koran Shadal, the purpose is to create a unity, to create a national center, create achdus, that you need a unifying communal center for the entire nation. It creates a feelings of brotherhood. It's as if the king is living amongst them. Why now? Don't wait until they finish with their conquest. You need to build while they're still united. And again, according to this, the chronology, the events occurred as they're recorded. And I would argue that Shadal would say, Vishachanti Bisocham, that is more metaphorical. In other words, it's not that the God Shechina should dwell amongst them. He's just saying metaphorically, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a word, you know, he is like the Mikdash. Like, it's as if. Ki'ilu, it's as if their king is dwelling amongst them. It's metaphorical. V'shachanti b'socham. So again, when we talk about the ideal, that there is an ideal to building a mikdash, is it to house the Shechina or to create a palace as someone normally would for the king, so that to create a sense of unity? So these are, I think, two different approaches for the big picture of, you know, the ideal, you know, that the Mishkan was an ideal.
Rabbi, you can say that you can combine both ideas.
Yeah.
That the Achdus makes it so that you feel Hashem, the Shechina.
Right. If there's Achdus, right. If there's
in other words, if you have Achdus, then you feel Hashem's presence, and that's the Shechina.
Correct. Right. I don't think Shadal says that. I'm just saying. No, I think your point is true. And when we talk about the destruction of, let's say, the second base of Migdash, there wasn't Achdus, that there's a lot of Torah on that piece. But I just think, in terms of what the Ramban specifically holds and Shadal, you know, with the function is one to house the Shechina. That's the Ramban doesn't talk about. Ramban doesn't talk about the Achdus. You can combine both of them. It's saying, correct. But they split it up. But you're right. You could combine them if you hold that the Mishkan is in response to the sin of the golden calf. There are at least four ways of understanding. There are at least four ways of understanding this this approach here. There are at least four ways, probably more, but there are four ways to do it. So one is that the Mishkan actually is the way that they achieved Kapara. Okay? In other words, you know, when we think about Rashi, Rashi says, I think someone's familiar with Rashi, Rashi says, Hashem commanded the Bnei Israel to build the golden calf, I'm sorry, to build the Mishkan, the aftermath of the golden calf. Okay, got it. It was a response. In what way was it a response? So there are at least four ways, could be more, at least four ways to understand that response. So one way is that it was a means to achieve atonement. They sinned, and now we have to say sorry to Hashem. How are we going to do that? We're going to do that by building a Mishkan. The Sifrei, for example, says, Rabbi Ben in Devarim, Perek Aleph, Rabbi Benaya Omer of the Yisrael Avodah Zarah, Harehim Chayvim Kliya. They Bnei Yisrael worship Avodah Zarah. They need to be destroyed. Yavo Zav Mishkan V'Yachaper Al Zav Ego. So the golden Mishkan will serve as a kapara on the golden calf. Rabbi Yosi Ben Chanina Omer V'Yasisa Kapara Zav Tahor. Yavo Zav Kapara V'Yachaper Al Zav Ego. So a lot of the gold, a lot of the requirements, a lot of the materials have to be gold, especially the kapores. Right, kapores serves as a kapara, so the Sifrei clearly understands the Mishkan as a kapara. Tanchuma also says, "V'yasuli mikashanti psocham a masai nemar lemosha parsha zu shel Mishkan." When was this section said that Hashem said, "V'yasuli mikashanti psocham"? This was b'yom Kippur matzmo on Yom Kippur itself. Afal pisha parsha haMishkan kodemus lemasa ego. Even though the section of the Mishkan is written in Parshas Truma before the sin of the golden calf, which is in Parshas Kisisa, on Rabbi Hiro Bar Rav Shalom, in Muktam Ruchamar Torah, there's sometimes the Torah is written out of its chronological order. Again, this is, so again, according to the first approach, you know, the what's Vishachanti Besocham, by the way, according to this? Build for me a Mishkan so that I can return to your midst. Right now, God is like, I've left you for now. I've left you for now, right? Moshe moves his tent outside the camp. God, it's a symbol that God has left the Bnei Yisrael, as it were. You want me to dwell amongst you again? You got to build for me a Mishkan so that I can return and we can rebuild that relationship. The need for a physical house is to reaffirm our loyalty to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why now? It's a method for teshuvah. Okay, so according to this approach, it's a method, a means of atonement, a method for tshuva. Another way to look at it, I don't think that's Rashi's approach. Because I think Rashi does say it's a sign. Rashi does say that it's a response to the sin of the golden calf. But let's see what Rashi says. Rashi says in Shmos Lamed Aleph Yud Ches, "Vayiten al Moshe in Mukta Mucha Bator Mas Egel Kol Tzivoy Melechet Mishkan Yom Rabim." This the story of the golden calf preceded the commandment to build the Mishkan many days. Sherei b'Shivasar b'Tamuz Nishtab Luchos. On the 70th day of Tamuz and Luchos were broken. Uvi Yom Kippur Nisrat Hakadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. And on Yom Kippur Hakadosh Baruch Hu was forgiven. Ule Macharas Hiskel B'Nidvas Mishkan V'Hukam Becha B'Nisan. And the next day, we began to with the donations of the Mishkan. So far we don't know yet about Rashi, but hold off on this for a second. So Rashi clearly holds that the Mishkan was in response. It seems, at least from this Rashi, we have a much clearer Rashi, but it seems Rashi in Lamed Aleph Yud Ches, that what happens? Hashem is appeased, we're good, and the next day, Mishkan. So we're already good with God, and the next day Mishkan seems. Let's look at the Tanchuma. Tanchuma said, "You'll find that Yom Kippur they achieved atonement." And Hashem said, "V'shachanti b'socham." Why? "Kidei sheyedu kol ha'umos," so that all the nations should know sheniskaper l'maaseh ego, that that Hashem forgave us, that our sin, that we've been atoned for our sins. V'lakach nikra Mishkan Ha'edus. Why is the Mishkan called Mishkan Ha'edus? So you could say that maybe Mishkan Ha'edus, what's the Edus? The testimony of our affirmation to God. It has the Luchos, but that's not how the Tanchuma says it's called Mishkan Ha'edus. It's called Mishkan Ha'edus, Shu Edus L'kol Boi Olam, Shekadosh Baruch Hu Shochem B'Mikdashchem. It's testimony to everyone in the world that God dwells in your Mikdash. In other words, the nation of the world could have argued, that's it, you had your chance, God performed all these miracles by in Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf and Mamad Har Sinai, but you blew it. You were disloyal to God, and therefore he's left you. The fact that Hashem now commands us to build the Mishkan is, what is he telling us? You made a mistake, but but Hashem has forgiven us. So the Shechina returning to the Mishkan, v'shachanti b'socham, is not a means for forgiveness. It's a sign that we have been forgiven. A little bit of a nuance, but it's an important nuance. And Rashi, a little bit different, but the same approach. Rashi in Perek Lamed Ches, Pasuk Chav Aleph, says, Mishkan Ho'edus, Edus Li Yisrael, Shevita Lehem Al Maaseh Egel Shereish Hishrish Kenosu Beneiyam. It's not a sign for the other nations, but it's a sign for God, for Bnei Yisrael, for themselves. Right? It's not so that they'll know that we've been forgiven. It's that we're going to be rest assured that we've been forgiven. Okay? So far, within the approach that the Mishkan was in response to the sin of the golden calf, we have A and B. Either it's a method to achieve atonement. We do things. We build the Mishkan to display our loyalty to God so we'll be truly forgiven. Or it's a sign that we have been forgiven. Okay? The Rambam and the truth is, Rabbi Yehuda Levi probably says something similar as well to this approach, but we're just going to read the Rambam. And the Rambam says that the Mishkan was a concession to the new or an adaptation to a new reality, a little bit different. In other words, it's Hashem adapted, changed the way that we should serve Him when He realizes. I mean, obviously God realizes everything; He knows beforehand, but that's the way things work. There's an ideal. We make mistakes. And then, so instead of God saying, okay, you know what? You made a mistake. You still have to serve me at this level. God adapts, maybe to model how we should behave when we have certain expectations for some people and they're not successful. So we maybe have to adapt our expectations for them. So let's see what the Rambam says. The Rambam says that he says many mitzvos, it's impossible to go from one extreme to another extreme. It's impossible to go, you know, to leave everything that you're used to doing at once. When God sent Moshe to make us into a holy nation, such that we should, through knowing Him, as the pasuk said, "Tahare Siladas, V'yadati Avashiva Silavecha, V'nis Master Kalil Avarosa," we were given completely to His service, like the pasuk said, "Avdo B'chol Avavchem, V'amar V'vatan Shem Lokechem, V'amar V'atem Tavodu, V'oto Tavodu, V'aderecham Before Samas Ba'olam Kulo Shiskimu Eleu Bosam Yamim." So basically, and the nature basically is that we were commanded to devote ourselves, you know, completely to Him. And that being said, but the way in those days, in that world, that everyone agreed to serve God is how? That the service in those days was doing what? Through offering animals. To bow down to them, or to bow down to different forms, and to burn incense in front of different forms. So the religious and ascetic people were in those days the people that were devoted to the service of the temples that were built for the stars. So God, in accordance with His wisdom, did not demand that we just stop performing all these types of service. Because this is something that we were used to, it's part of our nature, that we couldn't simply give this up. It's as if, says the Rambam, for, you know, to command us not to bring sacrifices, it's as if a Navi would come and tell us to serve God, and he would say, imagine if someone would come to us, says the Rabbi in the 12th century, and Navi would say, this I want you to serve God. Just serve God without praying, without fasting, without crying out to Him, just with thought. Just think about it. So that's something that we can't envision. We need to do something. L'chein hishir yisalas mini ha'avodos ha'ela ve'aviron miyosem l'nivraim v'lidvarim dimyonim she'en lahem mahus amitis liyos lishmo yisala v'tzibar l'asal sam lo yisala. And so therefore he basically commanded us, God commanded us to serve us, you know, different, to worship, to serve him sort of like in the same manner, as it were. Not to these creatures, but Siva Lasos Lo Yisala, but to do similar things to God. And Lachain Siva Lano Livnos Lo Mikdash. Therefore God commanded us to build for him a mikdash, Vasuli Mikdash, Vishiyah Mizbech Lishmo, and we should build an altar for God's name. Vesha Korban Yelo, and the Korban should be for him. So Hishai Bechrech Shiyis. And then he goes on to say, that basically the goal should be to serve God like how everyone else is serving their own gods, and to serve, but to do it in a holy way. In other words, to kasher the situation. In other words, there was a need. The Egel, and the Rambam, it doesn't say in this paragraph, and Rabbi Levi is actually a little more explicit about this. But what the Egel Hazav showed, the sin of the Golden Calf showed, that the people needed a sacrificial service. That God, Vishachanti Bisocham, is really, God resides amongst us. We don't really need a fixed location. So why now? Why is Hashem commanding us now? It's an alternative to the worship of... It's alternative to serving other gods. The main part, according to the Rambam, is the korbanos. Now, again, you can read the Rambam into really two different approaches. You can say that this is even before the sin of the golden calf. That Hashem had to command us to do these things because we needed a way to physically serve Hashem, just like the other nations were. Or what Rabbi Yehuda Levi says explicitly is that the sin of the golden calf demonstrated that we needed this, that we needed a physical way to serve God, and this was a concession to us being human in those days. So that's sort of another approach, a fifth approach, that again you can read this into either not really an ideal, but before the sin or after the sin. Again, Rabbi Yehuda Levi, which I didn't have, in the Khazari said this is in response to the sin, but you can read this either way. It was either that we needed to have sacrifices, that's what everyone else was doing, we need a kosher way to serve Hashem, or maybe that us worshiping the golden calf demonstrated that we can't handle the ideal form of serving Hashem, and we need some kind of structure. But again, according to this, the ideal is not the building to house God's Shekhinah, but it is what? It is a place to offer sacrifices to God, okay? To burn incense to God. Okay, last approach, and then we're going to try to go through what the messages are for each approach. The last approach, actually we're a little bit out of time. I'll just summarize. The Sfarno says that the goal is really to set divine boundaries. In a passage, he says that the goal is after the sin of the golden calf, the Sfarno said that the Bnei Yisrael basically were not on a level where they can come close to God. Hashem preferred, as it were, not to dwell amongst the nation at all, but because of Moshe's prayers, Hashem will dwell amongst them, but only through the Mishkan. In other words, there was a much more direct relationship between man and God after Mamad Har Sinai. They were in such a high level. But then after, and that was the goal of Mamad Har Sinai, to have a direct relationship. But then what happened? After the sin of the golden calf, then Hashem said, I don't want a relationship with them anymore. But then, Bitfilas Moshe, 5 lines from the bottom of the Sforno, Tfilas Moshe Bechir Netel Aseis Chatasam. Because of Moshe's prayer, so Hashem, he was able to, that to cover, you know, to bear their sins. Ulahashro Shchinasam Besocham. Al Kolzeh Amar Vesuli Mikdash. So Hashem said, okay, I'll come back, but you have to build for me this Mikdash. For Lobo Ofanacher, not another way. Ki lo heishiva klal el madregas malasam shayu bakodim. They were on a lower level than they were beforehand. And Sforna also writes that before the sin of the golden calf, the korbanos that were brought were only nedava. You can bring a free will offering, an optional offering, a voluntary offering. All the tzaddiki hadoros brought them. Adam, Noach, you know, they brought the korbanos nedava to Hashem. However, after the sin of the golden calf, so Hashem created these chovas, these obligations for the tzibor, like the korban tamid each and every day, like the korban musaf on Shabbos, like the menachos, like the niskeyam, and also obligations for individuals like chataos, like ashamos. In other words, Hashem created sacrifices due to this lower level to help bridge the gap between God and Klal Yisrael. So I gave you sort of six different approaches, not just two. You know, sometimes we think about the sin of the gold, the building of the Mishkan, two different approaches. One is an ideal or a response to the sin of the golden calf. But we sort of broke it out tonight, took a little bit of a deeper dive, and we have six approaches. And I think each of the approach sends a different message regarding our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Ramban, according to the Ramban, Sinai, Mamad Har Sinai was not a one-time event. The Shechina can still be found down here on earth, even after Mamad Har Sinai. We just need to tap into it. That's the message, I think, of the Ramban. Shechina can be found down here on earth. We can sense the presence of Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's the message he wants to give to us about the Mishkan. The Mamad Har Sinai was not a historical event thousands of years ago. Kadosh Baruch Hu Shechina can come down here on earth if we merit it. The Shadal says, we need to find ways and we need to find methods to unify us, or we will be constantly divided. The key, important ingredient, even after Mamad Har Sinai, we need to look for ways to specifically unify us. The whole commandment to build the Mishkan had one goal, to create achdus among Klal Yisrael. It's natural for us to fight. We need to work hard to find achdus. That's a primary concern. According to the approach, I think, of it was a Tanchuma, I think, who says that the Mishkan was a means of atonement. It's that the message that Kadosh Baruch Hu was sharing with us is that we have an opportunity for tshuva even after such a horrific sin as the sin of the golden calf. To say that it's a sign of the forgiveness, Rashi, that sort of says to us that Hashem's love for us is like the love of a parent who wants to show us or show the world that he still loves us and is reconciled with us. In other words, he wants to tell the world he's not angry at us. There we see a Kadosh Baruch Hu as a loving parent in the commandment to build the Mishkan. Another approach is the adaptation to the new reality. According to that, the Mishkan is a tremendous gift by a Kadosh Baruch Hu. We made a mistake. And instead of punishing us, Hashem adapted our ritual and came down to our level. And you know, this could be very important in how we view certain people, certain segments of our community. We shouldn't simply say, they're whatever, they're this group or that group or the other group, it's my way or the highway. And the message, according to this approach, is we have to meet them by Sher Husham where they are. And finally, setting divine boundaries, the Sforno, it's sometimes, you know, when we're struggling. So Kadosh Baruch Hu, what did he do? He said, you have to have a Mishkan. And the only way that I'm going to come down to you is through the Mikdash, through the Tzibor, through Korbanos of the Tzibor, and through connecting with the Tzibor who builds the Mikdash and the Tzibor who offered the sacrifice, that's how I can come back to you. So sometimes when we're struggling, we need to lean on the Tzibor. And the Sforno, I think, focuses on the importance of the Tzibor in religious life. That Baruch Hashem, we have a system, that we don't live in a bubble individually, and we're struggling. that Baruch Hashem, we have a tzibor, a beautiful community, a beautiful nation to lean on, and that's highlighted by the approach of the Sforno. So again, these are six different approaches, six different messages, and hopefully we have a deeper appreciation of what the commandment to build the Mishkan means in our daily lives.